The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's start off with the Reader's Digest today and the Dear Reader letter from Bruce Kelly, the Editor-in-Chief. Back to the Future. The older I get, the truer the phrase, everything old is new again. By now, looking for a new wardrobe, I can't do much better than finding a classic pair of jeans and making sure they fit. Similar to update a 96-year-old institution such as the Reader's Digest, we knew we needn't reinvent the wheel. Better to walk down the hall to the magazine's windowless archive and steal inspired old wheels. That really is how we created the updated version of the magazine you're reading now. Working through the dusty stacks, creative director Courtney Murphy came upon a 1951 issue with a border around the headlines that's shown above, and it shows a picture of the headlines with a border around it, which actually the way the first title of the Dear Reader is, and felt intelligent and approachable in its mid-century design. She played with it a bit, turned it into a frame that surrounds the names of all of our departments, a gift from R.D. from nearly 70 years ago. Imagining a new food section, we turn to the 1960-era series I Am Joe's Body, which was written from the perspective of Joe's, or Jane's, spleen, heart, and 34 other body parts. Clever and deeply researched, it was curiously hard to put down. I Am the Food on Your Plate lifts the format into the 21st century with a loud food narration of science and history. You'll find reclamations everywhere. To buttress our health coverage, we simply added more content to the 56-year-old news from the world of medicine. To judge our nicest place to search, we turned to a 2013 cover story featuring America's most trusted newspapers, newsperson, Robin Roberts. If you've done our recovery work well, Reader's Digest is better today for inviting back the best of yesterday. Enjoy the new look, and please tell us what you think. Letters. Notes on the September issue. 50 Ways to Get Smarter About Your Brain. Your article stated that you have more than 5 senses. It reminded me of when I was teaching my daughter about the senses, and she said there were 6. I went through the 5 senses, and she said, no, you missed one. The sense of humor. Emily Murphy, Kingwood, Texas. The Power of Fake Pills. The article affirmed what many moms and kids know, that applying the healing salve of a kiss to a child's paper cut or skinned elbow or knee really works. Terry Ismael, Tallahassee, Florida. Wake up smarter. So the sounds of a waterfall or heavy rain are supposed to help me sleep? No, but they do give me a lot of exercise going back and forth to the bathroom, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. Maybe all the walking is supposed to tire me out. Sherry Pranger, Bonnie Doon, California. Everyday Heroes. After reading the Five Fingers Club, I reminded of several pro athletes who had one arm, hand. Boyd Bowie, a Harlem Globetrotter. Ellis Jones, an NFL lineman. Tom Dempsey, a kicker with the New Orleans Saints who was born without toes and fingers on his right foot and hand. And Major League Baseball players, Pete Gray and Jim Abbott. Young athletes should receive all the encouragement in the world to play sports and attempt other feats. The lack of a hand should not stop them. Andy Pittman, College Station, Texas. Fascinating facts about unseen cities. I wonder whether anyone has ever used LIDAR to look for Atlantis, the fabled island that is said to have sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. There's always a possibility of a myth becoming an actuality. Susan Evans of San Jose, California. A football family lets go of a dream. I can't help but wonder about the coach of the opposing team and the referee. Seems they both bear some responsibility for 11-year-old Brogan Callahan's brain injury during a football game. The coach shouldn't have condoned his players to illegal hits, and the ref should have called it the first time it happened. My sympathies to Brogan and his family. Wendy Steele, Chelsea, Alabama. Your True Stories. Your story of the lost wedding ring was very close to what happened to me. One day I saw that the diamond was missing from my engagement ring. I was sure we were going to have to get a new one. Well, lo and behold, the next day I was vacuuming, and what did I see on the carpet? Yes, my diamond. And it is a small one. The jeweler set it with a new prong, and I still have my original ring. This year it is 53 years old. Sylvia Stritland, Goose Creek, South Carolina. This smartphone feature could save your life. If only more people could use the medical ID feature, first responders could do their jobs more effectively. It would save lives and receive pressure on family members to remember important information in a desperate emotional situation. I have used medical ID for 2 years and always update the information when changes happen. Janet Little, Gahanna, Ohio. Brain games. I really liked word Sudoku. It made me strategize as if I were doing regular Sudoku, which really makes your brain work. Victoria Pruden, Owensburg, Kentucky. Lost time was so easy that I thought maybe my answer was wrong, although it wasn't. Mary Hartshore in Westerville, Ohio. Do I need to turn my genius card? In counting digits, I'm pretty sure the digit 5 occurs 19 times in the numbers, 1 to 100, not 20, as you stated. Kathy Sever, Missouri. From the editor, the digits question tricked many of you. It asks how many times the digit 5 occurs, and the correct answer includes both 5s and 55. We love you, but sometimes you make me blush. Got a funny monopropriism? Something your mother maybe should have said but did? Share the story with readersdigest.com/massmom, and we might publish it. Everyday Heroes. Love's Last Refrain. This musician calms the dying and soothes their families. And there's a picture of a gentleman sitting in a field. Looks like there are maybe buffalo behind him rather than cows. He's wearing a cowboy hat, a leather vest, blue jeans, and he's strumming a guitar. And his quote says, oddly enough, "I feel comfortable around people at the end of their lives," says Freddie Fuller. When Freddie Fuller arrived to perform at the hospital room in Temple, Texas, Cam Golightly worried if it was already too late. Her stepdaughter, Dennis Strobel, was dying. At 88, Strobel had just been moved to the palliative care unit. After spending 5 days by his side, Golightly could tell that something had changed in the Korean War veteran. He had become agitated, and a nurse had told her Strobel's time was near. "You're probably wasting your time," Golightly told Fuller. But Fuller, wearing a cowboy hat and toting a Taylor acoustic guitar, shared with her what medical professionals had told him time and time again over the years. Hearing may be the last sense to go. "Let me go in and play," Fuller said. "It's as much for you as it is for him." Fuller, 68, and a full-time musician, is known professionally as the singing cowboy. With 2 albums, the country and folk musician has performed all over the United States, as well as overseas for American troops. He also delights school kids with a one-man show called The History of the Texas Cowboy, 1850 to 1900. Growing up in Salado, Texas, Puller heard the gospel music all the time from his mother. She even sang as she hung clothes on the line, and she encouraged her young son's musical talent. When she was dying of cancer in 1987, he put their love in a song to its greatest use. He would crawl into her hospital bed with his guitar and sing her favorite Amazing Grace, "Just a closer walk with thee, and I'll fly away." His mother seemed to relax, a peaceful look crossing her face. "That moment allowed her and I to connect like we need to when I was singing as a kid," Fuller recalls. It emphasized to him the power of music. Consciously or subconsciously, people allow it to go to deep, sacred parts of their hearts and souls, Fuller believes. So when he heard about a nonprofit organization called Swan Songs, he gave them a call. Since 2005, Swan Songs has arranged more than 800 free musical last wishes, bedside performers from the bagpipers to mariachi bands, at hospitals, hospices, and private homes in and around Austin, Texas. Fuller signed up on the spot. Since then, he has performed dozens of musical vigils. Sometimes they're almost festive, with terminally ill people surrounded by family, including one patient who sang along and danced gingerly with her walker. Other times they're quiet, as Fuller's experience with his mom was, and sometimes they feel a bit like a miracle. That was the case with Golightly's stepfather. He enjoyed country music, and Swan Song sent Fuller. When Fuller arrived at the hospital that day, last February, Strobel seemed ready to say goodbye. Golightly and her sister, Paula Guerrera, watched their stepdad's every breath, each holding one of his hands. Fuller played well some Willie Nelson, some Merle Haggard, and some Jackson Brown songs. After 45 minutes, Golightly asked for just one more song. Fuller chose "Love Me," a country ballad by Colin Ray. I played the last song, sang the last note, and hit the last guitar chord, and he took his last breath, Fuller says. She, her sister, and I looked at one another, saying, "Oh my gosh, we just experienced one of the most magical moments in our lives." "It was a gift for us all," Golightly said of Fuller's singing. "At a really sad time, it was beautiful." Take the first step. A person who is not afraid of looking like a fool gets to do a lot more dancing. Everyday Heroes, A White Knight in the Aisle Seat. Soon after Susanna Phillips got buckled into her window seat on United Airlines flight from Oklahoma to Illinois last May, she glanced over at her seatmate. He was in his 60s, wore bright yellow sunglasses, and was busy texting. The font was unusually large, and the screen was bright, making it easy for Phillips to read what he was saying. "Hey, babe, I'm sitting next to a smelly fatty." There's a picture of the young lady. She's really cute. And a man with a beard. "It was like a confirmation of the negative things I think about myself on a daily basis," 33-year-old mother wrote in a Facebook after the flight. Soon tears streamed down her cheeks as she lugged the cabin wall, trying to make herself as small as possible. Sitting in a row behind him and across the aisle was Chase Irwin, a 35-year-old bar manager from Nashville, Tennessee. He could see the man's text, too, and he could see Phillips. "I noticed her looking at his phone," Irwin told WSMV.com. "I was sick to my stomach. I could not have this guy sit next to her this whole flight, and her thinking he's making fun of her," he told Nashville's News Channel 5. In an instant, Irwin had unbuckled his seatbelt and was hovering over the texter. "Hey, I need to talk to you," Irwin told him. "We are switching seats now." When the texter asked why, Irwin said, "You're texting about her, and I'm not putting up with that." The texter seated quickly. Irwin took his place next to Phillips and was soon cheering up his new seatmate. "He encouraged me not to let that guy get to me and that everything was going to be fine," Phillips wrote. And he was right. She and Irwin spent the rest of the flight chatting like old friends. With her faith in humanity restored, Phillips wrote on her Facebook, "The flight attendant told him that he was her hero. He wasn't her hero. He was mine." And there's a picture of the young lady, and she's very attractive. Long brown hair, beautiful smile. Her hero, it looks like he's very tall, has dark hair and a black beard and a big smile. I won the Grand National Turkey Calling Contest. Jesse Martin, age 36, Mount Sterling, Kentucky. Why did you take up turkey calling? I was about 10, and my aunt and uncle had some turkeys out in the yard. I got obsessed with trying to sound as much like a real turkey as I could. I practiced 3 hours a day for the last 20-some years. For people who have never heard you or a turkey, can you describe a call? "Kee" is the sound of the turkey makes when it has been separated from the flock, kind of like a kid at Walmart screaming for his mama. They cluck and purr when they're eating their favorite foods, and they're happy. Every hen sounds different, just like humans. And you do this all just for the sound of your voice? No. You place what's known as a call in your mouth. It contains latex, and the tension is what will make the sound like a different turkey. The tighter you stretch the call, the higher the pitch. Lower tensions will sound like an older hen. What do you think you won? The judges said it was the most realistic they'd ever heard. You need to be your own hen, not like somebody else. That was my 10th Grand National, and I finally won. It was a dream come true. The National Wild Turkey Federation's Grand National Calling Championship is held every February. There are 9 divisions, including owl hooting and a team challenge. And there's a cartoon of the gentleman sitting there with a camouflage cap on and suspenders, red suspenders and blue jeans, and right behind him is a turkey, kind of smiling at him. This hits home to me. There's a couple sitting in a restaurant, older couple with gray hair. This is a cartoon. And he has a menu in front of him. This is life in these United States. He has a menu in front of him. And there's the sommelier is next to him holding a bottle of wine and says, "Here's the wine you mispronounced." That sounds like me. The other day I got carded at the liquor store. While I was taking out my ID, my old Blockbuster card fell out. The clerk shook his head and said, "Never mind," and rang me up. Andrea Price, Grafton, Wisconsin. My friend Garrick had the solution to forgetting his wife's birthday and their wedding anniversary. He opened an account with a local florist and provided it with both dates as well as instructions to send flowers and a card signed, "Your loving husband, Garrick." For a few years, it worked. Then one day, Garrick came home on their wedding anniversary. He saw the flowers on the dining room table and said, "What nice flowers. Where did you get them?" I'm not sure why I get that. Oh, he asked. Okay, that makes sense. Ever classes, drama classes when you're in high school. Pretty much the most frightened part of my day is when I get a notification that my mother has tagged me in a post on Facebook. Spotted on a laundromat corkboard. Please keep clothes on while doing your laundry. Marriage is just your spouse perpetually standing in front of the kitchen drawer or cabinet you need to open. I was waiting in a small train station when a man put up a sign regarding a train. 30-minute delay. "What happened?" I asked. "The train went off the rails," he said. "How long will it take to fix?" "Quite a few hours." "So why put up a sign say it would only take 30 minutes? It's the only sign we have." At our weekly Bible study, the leader asked an elder gentleman, Walt, to open the meeting with a prayer. Walt did so in a soft voice. Another man, straining to hear, shouted, "I can't hear you!" Wait replied, "I wasn't talking to you." My wife just said, "That definitely your daughter." After our 3-year-old muttered incomprehensible gibberish, laughed out loud, and said very proudly, "I made a funny joke." Zip it. A woman finds herself constantly awakened at night by her husband talking in his sleep. So since she's up, she decides to record what he's saying. Here are some of his midnight ramblings. "No, octopus, you can't do that." "Spaghetti is hair for meatballs." "Where are my pancakes, penguin?" "I won't. The toilet said no." "Butterfly, you made a mistake walking in front of me." "But I want to be Mary Poppins." "Do you know where the TV remote is?" "No. I'll just ask the duck." Quotable quotes. "Anything sweet, really sweet, that I have was nothing that I planned." Sandra Bullock. "I tell every child I meet, you have greatness inside you, and your job is to figure out what that is, dig it out, and give it to the world." Henry Winkler. "Beware of monotony. It's the mother of all deadly sins." Edith Wharton. "People are readily identified to being left-brained or right-brained, but I want to be identified as having using my entire brain." Mae Jemison, astronaut. "Success is how high you bounce when you hit bottom." George S. Patton. "An acquaintance is a person we know well enough to borrow from, but not well enough to lend to." Ambrose Pierce. "I picture each day as if it were a happy dog looking at me. I may not be in the mood, but the dog always wants to play." Trust the dog. John Patrick Shanley, playwright. "People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is a light from within." Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a psychiatrist. "At this stage in sort of life, I sort of go, okay, I won't scream at you. I'll just talk to you loud." Miranda Lambert, singer. Point to ponder. If you're a child, you're curious about your environment, period. You're overturning rocks. You're plucking petals off flowers. You're doing things that create disorder. Then what do adults do? They say, don't pluck the petals. Don't play with the egg. Everything is a don't. We spend the first year teaching them to walk and talk, and the rest of their lives tell them to shut up and sit down. Get out of their way. Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist. How to keep Internet spies out of your home. Smart devices equipped with cameras and microphones can be easy targets for hackers. For a nervous first-time mom, the new Wi-Fi-connected baby monitor seemed like a godsend. Jamie Summit was thrilled that the system let her use her phone to watch her son Noah and even control the camera angle in case the baby moved. Her husband and sister-in-law could operate the monitor with their phones, too. What none of them realized was that they were not the only ones who could watch. One night, all three grown-ups were sitting together in the Summit's South Carolina home when Jamie noticed that the live video was panning around the baby's room. That's odd, she thought, since none of them were touching their phones at that moment. Then the camera stopped and refocused on the exact spot where she usually breastfed. Jamie was confused and wondered whether there was a bug in the monitor software. Then she realized the ugliest truth. Someone was controlling the camera. She unplugged the baby monitor and called the police. It makes me kind of sick to think what kind of stuff the person may have seen. And he still could be out there, Jamie's told the ABC News. I'm supposed to protect my son, and I feel like I failed him. Smart gadgets are all about convenience, allowing you to control household devices, thermostats, doorbells, refrigerators, coffee makers, and slow cookers with your phone or computer, or turn on lights or music with your phone, with your voice via Amazon Echo or Google Home. But that convenience can make you easy prey for hackers. Whether you connect to the Internet, a door opens just a crack, enough that hackers can get through, and smart devices don't always do a good job of keeping the interlopers out. One of the biggest issues is that these devices makers are really thinking about security second, says Andrew Newman, founder and CEO of Reason Software Company. Security breaches are rare, but tech experts fear that as these gizmos become more popular, they'll also become bigger targets. The time to protect yourself is now. Small electronics and routers. Most smart devices require passwords, but a weak one isn't hard to crack, assuming you set one in the first place. Hacker can use Google-like search engines to find out which gadgets might not have be password protected. They can simply enter a specific type of device, say security cameras, and the search engine will pull up a list of those that are potentially unprotected. But when it comes to breaking into your devices, the real firewall, the potential weak link, is your router. Because it's connected to every online device in your home, hacking your router is like picking the lock on your front door. Once inside, thieves can control any connected smart gadget, including its cameras and microphones. Your router can be easy to crack if you don't change its default password. Some tech support websites list common preset passwords for most router brands and models. Protect yourself. Changing the default settings on your devices and your router to include strong, unique passwords is essential. Try taking a phrase you'll remember, 47 years ago, and using its initials, FSAYA, as a start. Then mix them in capital letters, numbers, and symbols. Another safeguard, another safeguard. An attacker who gets to your router won't be able to access the devices if they're turned off. So plug them into a staged surge protector strip and shut off the power strip when you aren't using them. It also doesn't hurt to physically block any prying eyes in case they do manage to get through your security. A piece of tape or sticky note over a camera when you aren't using will do the trick. Of course, the one surefire way to protect yourself is to avoid these gadgets altogether. If you don't really need to have a smart device at this point, don't buy one, says Yotam Katman, Vice President of Marketing for Secure Things. Home assistance. Danielle, a resident of Portland, Oregon, was surprised to get a call from one of her husband's employees in Seattle, who said he received a recording on his phone of the couple chatting in their home. They thought their Amazon Echo, a voice-controlled gizmo that could be programmed to adjust your thermostat, lights, and more, had been hacked. But Amazon investigated and discovered that the incident had come about by accident. The device doesn't take commands until it tells its name, Alexa. Somehow, this Alexa thought it had heard its name, then further misinterpreted the conversation as instructions to record and send audio files to a contact on Danielle's husband's phone, the employee who received the recording. With smart devices, we tend to forget they're there, but they're there to record us and collect data. And that's a business model, says Gutman. Protect yourself. The odds of home assistants accidentally recording conversations are low, experts say. And the devices should ask for confirmation before sending information to a third party. But if its volume is low and if you can't see the lights on the device chat that alerts you that it has been activated, you might not realize it is engaged and potentially misunderstanding what it's hearing. Keep the volume up and the speakers visible to minimize any potential issues. Door monitors. Sometimes breaches in privacy are personal. Jesus Escarazeta has a smart doorbell that sends live video to his front door in Miami to his phone when it senses motion or someone rings the bell. You need a password to connect the doorbell to your phone, and Escarazeta had shared this with his boyfriend. Escarazeta changed the password twice after they broke up, so he was shocked when he got emails from his ex criticizing his comings and goings from his own house. Turns out the ex was watching Escarazeta through the device. The security settings, which have since been updated, didn't disconnect users after a password change. The ex-boyfriend had never logged out of the doorbell's app, so he never lost his connection to it. Protect yourself. When shopping for smart devices, look for models that allow multiple users. All users will have their own logins, and you can delete all individual accounts if you ever need to. As an extra precaution, you can also put the device through a factory reset to delete all the data, including passwords. No matter what, check in periodically to see whether there's a software update for the device. If a vulnerability gets patched, you'll stay one step ahead of the hackers. On the other hand, watching a teenager's on a smartphone, I realized that the idiom all thumbs might be doomed. The world of medicine. Why vegetarians should add in B12? In a National Institutes of Health study, vegan and vegetarian participants tended to score higher than meat eaters on a depression measuring scale. While the results don't prove causality, it wouldn't be surprising if nutritional shortfalls were to blame, the researchers said. In particular, vegetarians and vegans are often low in vitamin B12, an animal product our only natural source of this nutrient. However, it's possible to reach the recommended briefs levels by taking supplements or by eating fortified foods such as soy milk and breakfast cereal. Air pollution can harm your kidneys. Polluted air has long been linked to major health conditions such as heart disease, stroke, cancer, asthma, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. A new study based on data from nearly 2.5 million people now adds kidney disease to the list. According to the researchers, the adverse effects increase as pollution levels rise. But even relatively low amounts of particulate matter, which can include bits of dirt, dust, smoke, and soot, may increase the risk of chronic kidney disease and ultimately contribute to kidney failure. If you live in an area with poor air quality, be on the lookout for early signs of kidney disease. They include foamy or bloody urine, itchy skin, puffy eyes, muscle cramps, unusual fatigue, and swollen feet, hands, or ankles. New smart hearing aid in the works. Researchers at New York Columbia University Foo Foundation, that's interesting, it is a Foo Foundation, FU, School of Engineering and Applied Science are developing a high-tech hearing aid that can help people focus on a single voice in a noisy restaurant or another setting that's packed with competing and overlapping sounds. The hearing aid works by monitoring the brain activity of the user to determine whether he or she is conversing with a specific speaker. If then, it automatically picks that person's voice out of a mixed audio feed and amplifies it. In a recent trial, almost all the subjects found the device helpful and wanted to continue using it beyond the test. And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports. We're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Humidifiers. We tested 18 models with a range of 300 to 499 square feet. They test for daily output, sum of use, ease of use, energy efficiency, noise, and how the unit works with hard water. The median was 68, the range was 37 to 86. 86 was the best overall performer, the Vicks V5100 for $50. The next one was 80. Score was dual misting and antimicrobial, Hunter 33520 at $70, and the bargain buy was Honeywell HV320 at $35. It scored 75, which was not a bad thing. Drip coffee makers. We tested 89 models. What we test for: performance, including brew temperature and coffee concentration, convenience, including controls, and more carafe handling and brew time. About the scores, the median was 64. The range ranged from 39 to 84. Thermal carafe, Mr. Coffee Optimal Brew, at $80, scored a 72. That was their best. Built-in bean grinder, Black & Decker Mill & Brew, at $70, scored a 67. Makes espresso, too. The DeLonghi BC320, at $150, and looking at a picture of it, it has the whole espresso thing with the extra pump and all that. It scored 63. And then ask our experts, how important is it that I descale my coffee maker? Descaling, sometimes called decalcifying, is a deep cleaning. It gets rid of residue and mineral buildup that can affect taste, slow down brewing time, or even clog your appliance, causing it to malfunction and require repair that may not be covered under warranty. It's especially important to descale if you have hard water, because the buildup happens faster, says CR engineer Jenny Lowe. Some models indicate when to descale, such as Mr. Coffee model above. If yours doesn't, consult your manual. Descaling is easy, says Lowe. Simply run equal parts of water and white vinegar through your appliance. Some manufacturers suggest a different ratio or a specific cleaning solution. After descaling, run at least one or two cycles of plain water before brewing your next pot of coffee. Otherwise, it'll taste like vinegar. Continuing on the test items. Fitness tracker is under $200. We tested 13 models. We test for ease of use, interaction and pairing with another device, step count, and heart rate monitor, accuracy, water resistance, readability, and more. The scores ran from a median of 79 with a range of 50 to 85. The leader of the pack was the Gammon 4Runner 35 at $170. It scored the high score, 85. Nice price, Fitbit charged 2 at $100, scored an 83. And the large analog display was the Nokia Steel HR at $160, and it scored a 79. And the single flush toilets. We tested 36 models. We test for the ability to move stimulated solid waste through the bowl and trap, noise level of flushing, how well flushing cleans the bowl, gallons per flush, and more. About the scores, the median was 67, the range was 38 to 78. Starring a 78 was the Royal Flush, kind of a good name. Best overall, St. Thomas by Acera, Richmond Eco, $350, scored a 78. Very quiet commode is the Zern Z55551K at $250, scored a 75. And then the conserves water is the Niagara Conservation Stealth, the Home Depot, at $170. And I'll give you a review on that because my apartment landlords just recently replaced all our toilets with those Niagara things, and they are nice. Toaster ovens. We rested 30 models. We test for how evenly a model bakes muffins and cookies, how well it reheats lasagna, and how quickly and evenly it toasts a slice of bread or a full batch or more. About the scores, the median was 58. The range was 45 to 76. Tops in testing at a 76 was Braverol BOV650XL at $180. Easy to use plus convection. KitchenAid Digital Convection Countertop at $250. Its overall score was 71. And the hot price was Hamilton Beach 6 Slice at $50. Scored a 66, which is certainly not bad. Pre-finished wood flooring. We tested 13 products. We test for how well the wood withstands scratches, stains, dents, and sunlight, how quickly surface wear is noticeable, and more, prices per square foot. The median was 4 and 8. The range was 34 to 75. The star performer and great price was Lumber Liquidators Builder Pride Select Pewter Gray Metal at $450 a square foot. That scored a 75. Stands up to sunlight, Armstrong Paragon, original Ember, at $7 a square foot, scored a 71. And super scratch resistant was Tirigrin Portfolio Naturalist Wheat, which was $750 a square foot, and it scored a 68. Ask our experts. My husband and I need to transport our car south this winter. How can we get a good deal? Saving on car transport is like saving on airline tickets, says Toby Stanger, senior muddy editor. Property routes tend to be less pricey on a dollar-per-mile basis. Reserving in advance costs less than booking last minute. Peak season is pricier than off-peak, and flexibility helps. If you don't need to have your car delivered on a certain day, the carrier may reward you with a lower rate, Stanger says. And if you're okay going standby, having your car available at the carrier's convenience, you can save hundreds of dollars. Be aware that door-to-door delivery can cost more. I missed a line there. Sorry about that. The truck can't travel local roads. You may pay extra to have your car towed or driven those last few miles, Drew Roche, owner of Transport Review, which gathers prices and reviews of auto transporter, rather than meet at a designated public spot. Save, too, by booking an open transport truck, which may save you 20% or more than enclosed ones, Roche says. But know that your car may be more at risk to hail or road debris, says Mel Yu, CR's automotive analyst. Beware of lowball quotes on transport websites. On a competitive route, every company should be charging about the same amount for your desired route with a fluctuation of roughly 10%, Walsh says. But know that some sites are brokers that act as booking intermediary and take a fee. You adds, even though the broker prices are often competitive, you may prefer to book directly with a licensed carrier to know exactly what truck you're using, you ask. Ask for the carrier's Department of Transportation number. then look up a carrier's insurance record and any complaints on safer.fmcsa.dot.gov using its DOT or motor carrier MC number. It's also preferable if the carrier has at least a decade of experience and multiple trucks in its fleet. Do OLED screens on a phone really make a big difference? OLED, organic light-emitted diode screens, are capable of creating higher quality images mainly because they're able to produce significantly deeper black levels compared with LCD, liquid crystal display screens. This means that when you look at an OLED screen, colors pop and dark details are more clearly defined. You'll find these screens on more expensive models such as the Samsung Galaxy S9, $620, or the iPhone X at $1,000. But only OLED screens can suffer from burn-in, traces of old images that linger on the screen, and when displaying a brighter image, such as a sunny sky, they may dim, says Richard Fisco, CR's head of smartphone testing. Even so, OLEDs are certainly the best-looking screens out there, says Fiasco, but phones with LCD screens still offer smooth, crisp, high-resolution displays at budget-friendly prices, such as the LG G6 at $500. Should I flip my foam mattress? Most foam mattresses are made up of several layers, each with different types and densities of foam, says Chris Reagan, who oversees CR's mattress testing. What's more, each mattress manufacturer tends to layer foam in a distinct order, which gives up a defined top and bottom. And, of course, many innersprings and few foam mattresses come with a pillow top of soft, cushy material that's meant to stay on top. All of which is to say that flipping your mattress could degrade sleeping comfort, so always check the manual for advice first. For example, the Serta Hotel Beads Concierge Suite 2, an innerspring with a layer of gel-infused foam, can be flipped, but a Casper can't. Instead, you may be able to rotate your mattress from head to toe, except for mattresses that have a specialty zone, such as a firmer lumbar area, that should not be repositioned. Though flipping and rotating may help extend the life of some mattresses, there's no rule to rule out mattresses designed to stay put. CR's durability testing has found that most models, whether foam or innerspring, don't sag much even after we simulate 8 years of aging. Now this is a timely article. How to safely cook a turkey. Thaw it properly. If you buy a frozen bird, plan to thaw it in a refrigerator set to 37 degrees Fahrenheit for 24 hours for each 4 to 5 pounds of meat. A 16-pound turkey will take about 4 days to thaw, says CR food tester Ellen Klotz. Put the wrapped turkey on a tray on the bottom shelf of the fridge, she says. This helps prevent leaking water and juice from spreading bacteria around. Forgo bird baths. You can't wash off bacteria with water, and rinsing out the turkey richly splashes the juice all over the sink, says CR food tester Amy Keating. Instead, open the plastic wrap carefully and drain any liquid into the sink before discarding the wrapper. Pat the turkey dry inside and out with paper towels. Wash your hands and any utensils using hot water and soap. Don't stuff it. Stuffing can absorb the juices from the raw turkey if it doesn't get hot enough, and if you risk food poisoning. Cooking the bird until the stuffing is safe can mean overcooked meat. Watch the temperature. A golden brown exterior may be your goal, but it's the interior temperature that really matters. Too low and you risk food poisoning, but too high and your bird may look a lot better than it tastes. CR tests showed that pop-up thermometer turkeys are not always reliable. Use a digital meat thermometer, and I'll list those in just a second. And it shows where to stick it and insert into a breast. Be sure the probe is deep into the thickest part of the meat. And that's with the top-rated insta-digital thermometer, which is $70. Taking a turkey's temperature. Don't rely on the pop-up turkey thermometers. To ensure that your turkey has reached a safe 165 degrees Fahrenheit, insert a digital meat thermometer in both spots shown here, keeping the thermometer horizontal. Push it in about 2 inches and make sure you don't hit bone. And the other place to insert it is into the thigh. Push the probe into the fleshiest part of the meat. And the measuring things for the turkey. Top leave-in model is the Oracle Scientific Wireless Barbecue Oven at $30. And it's got like 3 parts. Instant digital for less is the ThermoWorks Pocket at $24. And a budget leave-in is the Taylor Classical Digital at $17. Still confused by food expiration dates? 'Tis the season for overbuying food, which is why it's also a good time to contemplate that the average American throws out almost a pound of food every day, according to the Department of Agriculture. Why? It's often hard to know how long packaged foods are still safe to eat because there are no federal regulations on date labeling, with the exception of those on infant formula. You're likely to see one of three designations on food products, though sell-by has a different meaning from best-if-used-by or /before and used-by. Typical manufacturers use methods such as lab tests to taste testing to set label dates, according to a report from the Natural Resources Defense Council and Harvard University. But those dates have little to do with safety, and in many cases, the date you see is conservative. So if you eat the food after the date, you may not even notice a quality difference. As a general rule of thumb, most canned foods that are low in acid, canned tuna, soups, can be stored up and open for 2 to 5 years, and high-acid foods, canned juices, tomatoes, pickles, can be stored for a year up to 18 months, according to the USDA. Deep dents, which can break the seal and let in bacteria, or bulges in closed cans, might signal that it's time to toss them. Although there are still no federally regulated expiration dates on meat, dairy, and eggs, those foods have shorter shelf lives than non-perishable items. The best way to know if a perishable food has spoiled? Trust your taste buds and nose, says C.R. Suja Mahid, Ph.D., a food safety expert. If a product has been opened, it may be harder to know whether it's worth saving. But a free app from the USDA Foodkeeper can help. Simply look up an item to see how long it will last unopened in the pantry or opened in the refrigerator. Canned Canberry sauce can last 1 to 2 weeks in the fridge after opening. An open jar of gravy? Just a day or two. Ooh, that's important to know. Use by. The last date that a manufacturer recommends for the use of the product while at peak quality. It's about safety only on infant formulas. Sell by. A manufacturer set date tells retailers when to take the product off the shelves, but it may still be fine for you. For examples, experts advise that properly refrigerated milk shouldn't sour until 5 to 7 days past its sell-by date. Best if used before indicates when a product is of the best quality or flavor. For instance, crackers may be soft instead of crisp after this date. It's not about safety. And here's the Consumer Reports time traveler on cameras. 1939. As new photography equipment floods the market, CR tests the American-made 35mm Argus C2, which ranks first for overall performance, an excellent value of $25. In 1948, our holiday gift guide, we recommended the Brownie Reflex Synchro as a good aim-and-shoot camera for about $10.93, though the flash attachment is sold separately for $4.03. In 1957, after its introduction to the market in 1948, the Polaroid camera continues to be just plain fun. We evaluate 4 models and find all acceptable. We also note that the picture should be last for years if the coating supplied with each roll of Polaroid film is brushed on promptly using a small squeegee-like applicator. In 1968, though the 35mm single-lens cameras are popular, CR says twin-lens reflex TLR cameras still have a lot to offer. The best TLR we've tested is a Rolleiflex model pictured, and that's $350. In 1976, we test 38 product cameras that use a 110 film, reporting they're easy to operate, small, and inexpensive, but not as good as large prints. This Minolta Pocket AutoPack 770 costs a thing, and it's about the size of a 2 packs of cigarettes laid end by end. In 1980, some new cameras are able to focus automatically. Polaroid Sonar has the best autofocus in our tests. In 1998, we review 18 new no-film cameras. A CR tester compares photos of the same 7 subjects taken with each digital camera. A Nikon Coolpix 900 secures our top score. In 2018, the 50mm Canon is less than a third of the price of our top-programmed 85mm single-lens reflex camera, but is a similar tested performance, and it retails for $850. What type of water heater is best? Hidden away in your basement, a water heater gets little attention until you find yourself quickening an icy morning shower. If you need to replace an old heater, there are plenty of options, though most people pick a model powered by the same fuel as before, natural gas or electricity. Typically, Tank water heaters heat and store many gallons of hot water so that it's ready when you need it. Smaller tankless water heaters, which heat water only on demand, are more efficient and are slowly growing major share. But replacing a tank storage model with a tankless one requires a pro to retrofit your plumbing line. Still, it's worth considering if you're remodeling. Here are the pros, cons, and costs, the five different types, from CR's research department. The gas storage tank. Slightly more households heat their water with gas than with electricity or other fuels. In this case, the water is heated by a natural gas, which typically costs less to run than electric models. Gas water heaters that are ENERGY STAR certified can even use less energy because they typically use better insulation and have more efficient combustion systems. The average price is $600, and the average annual operating cost is $245. Gas tankless. These models use a high-powered burner to heat water and reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit, just as tank models do, though they're cheaper to operate. But a high initial cost means that you won't see payback until years after even a long warranty runs out, which may mean never. So our overall rating is good, even though gas tankless models are efficient and have low annual costs. The average price is $1,000, and the average operating cost is $195 a year. Electric storage tank. Electric storage tank models operate similar to gas tank models. Cold water enters a pipe at the top and exits as heat water via another pipe. But electric tank models aren't ENERGY STAR certified like an electric heat pump. Still, you can save on operating costs by wrapping the tank, insulating the pipes, and keeping the heater close to the fixtures that uses hot water. Average price is $500, and your operating cost is around $570. Electric tankless. These models may be best in areas with warmer groundwater, such as the South, because in our cold water tests, we found that some could not heat water to the desired 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and because electric whole house models draw a lot of power, often around 120 to 160 amps, they also tend to be better for homes that have ample electric service, about 200 amps. The average price is $750, and the operating cost is $525. Electric heat pump. This is one type of electric water heater that qualifies for ENERGY STAR certification. It captures heat from the surrounding air and transfers it to the water, using about 60% less energy than a standard electric tank models. And although the cost is high, the upfront payback time is short. But these heaters don't work well in cold spaces and have strict space requirements. The average price is $1,200, and the operating cost per year is $240. How to clean practically anything. Your humidifier. When we asked consumers who own a humidifier how often they clean it, 12% told us a few times a week and 21% said at least weekly. That sounds pretty good, right? But you might be surprised to learn that it's not frequent enough to keep your humidifier clean. The best answer is daily. Both the Consumer Product Safety Commission and the Environmental Protection Agency warn that emissions from dirty humidifiers can cause health problems, especially for those who suffer from asthma or allergies. Microbes can grow in the reservoirs of humidifiers, potentially releasing bacteria into the air as your humidifier mists. Bacteria grows in a moist environment, so it's important not to only wash out the base tray and reservoir, but also to let it completely dry after cleaning it, says Doris Sullivan, CR's Associate Director for Product Safety. In our labs, we have found that evaporative models, such as the SPT model, are the least likely to emit airborne bacteria. Still, no humidifier can protect you from bacteria buildup brought to you on by a lack of cleaning. At the season's start, before using a stored humidifier for the first time, you need to clean it. Don a pair of plastic gloves to disinfect the reservoir with a bleach solution, following the manufacturer's instructions. Honeywell, for example, says to use 1 teaspoon of bleach mixed with 1 gallon of water, though you may prefer an even stronger mix of 2 to 4 teaspoons. Then dry thoroughly and don't add water before you need to. Every day, even if the manufacturer doesn't mandate it, we recommend that you clean your humidifier every day. Simply empty, rinse, and dry the base tray or reservoir before refilling. Every week, remove any mineral buildup in the reservoir using vinegar, then rinse with water before disinfecting with a bleach solution. Never mix vinegar and bleach. At the season's end, disinfect the humidifier with bleach, then dry it thoroughly before putting it away. Don't store it with a used filter. How stuff works. The incognito mode. Opening an incognito window in your internet browser may sound mysterious, but this tool, which promises a private browsing session, can be an assist, an asset when using a shared computer. That's because normally browsers keep a lot of information about you. When you go to the website in a regular non-incognito window, your browser stores the URL or web address of every page you visit and hangs onto that information even after you close the window. As a list of URLs in your browsing history tab, your browser also stores cookies, which are tiny files that websites use to track your online activity from site to site and to follow you around with ads for items you've looked at previously. How will private browsing help? All major web browsers, Chrome, Edge, Firefox, and Safari, offer this feature. Under the file of More menu, simply look for an incognito or private option. On a phone, look for it when creating a new browser tab. When you close a private window, the cookies go away. The websites you visited won't show up in the History tab, and if you search for a product, Blender say, you're not as likely to see kitchenware ads over the next few days. It will also prevent anyone else who might use that laptop from seeing what you search for or have related ads pop up, says Robert Richter, Program Manager for Privacy and Security Testing at Consumer Reports. If you're using a public computer, incognito mode is useful because it won't retain personal data, such as your Gmail login, when you close the window. But don't let incognito mode lull you into a false sense of security. You still need to guard your passwords and close windows when you're done. And though the data about your session won't be stored on the computer you used, it could be stored on the server of any website you visited, Richter says. Also, if you're on your employer's Wi-Fi network, your company will know which site you visited incognito mode. Doesn't protect you from malware or any bookmarks you make or files you download while in incognito mode will persist after you close the window or browser. Food sleuth. Good to the last gobble. You've waited all year to savor your favorite Thanksgiving dishes, which is why it's all too easy to go overboard when the day finally arrives. According to the Calorie Control Council, Americans may consume more than 4,500 calories at their Thanksgiving dinner. Depending on age, weight, and gender, most people should have somewhere between 1,600 and 2,800 calories daily. Here, we filled up a plate with classic seasonal goodies and sensible portions to help you have a delicious, filling meal that won't derail your regular diet. At around 1,700 calories, though, even our spread has more than a daily allotment for many, says CR's Amy Keering, registered dietitian. So just be mindful and try to resume your normal calorie intake the next day. And it starts off with a 3-by-3-inch square of cornbread at 198 calories. 5 fluid ounces of red wine is 125 calories. 4 ounces of candy sweet potatoes are 187 calories. A half a cup of green bean casserole, 227 calories. A quarter cup of cranberry sauce, 102 calories. 1 cup of mashed potatoes at 237 calories, and a half a cup of stuffing at 195 calories. 3.5 ounces of white meat turkey with skin at 177 calories, and a quarter cup of gravy at 25 calories. 1 slice, 1/8 of a 9-inch pie, pumpkin pie, 280 calories. November is the best time to buy TVs. As Black Friday sales abound, watch for good deals on TVs, especially mid-price models. Refrigerators. Score good prices on large appliances such as fridges this Black Friday through the holidays. And dishwashers. Is your old appliance on its last legs? The deepest dishwater discounts of the year are likely to happen now. Product Spotlight. Mobile peer-to-peer payment services. Mobile peer-to-peer, also known as P2P payment services such as Apple Pay, Apple Pay, Cash App, and Venmo can be a convenient way to pay people using your smartphone, tablet, or smartwatch. In a recent CR review of 5 mobile P2P payment services, we just Apple Pay tops, in part because it collected and shared less user data. Follow these tips to get more out of a P2P service with greater safety for your money. Opt in to stronger security. Except for Apple Pay, which automatically requires user to confirm every payment with a fingerprint or PIN, the services we judged required users to take extra steps to get the highest level security offered. It takes only a few seconds to set up extra protection, such as a pin. It's a good idea to take the time to do it. Send money only to people you know. Peer-to-peer, many peer-to-peer transactions are instantaneous and irreversible, a fact scammers know and exploit. Get all of your recipients' details correct from the get-go. Before you press send or pay, make sure that you have the right username, phone number, photo, or other identifier. Some services, such as Venmo, offer the opportunity to receive a special code to confirm that the person you're sending money to is your intended recipient. Choose services that offer these features and use them. Don't use P2P services for business purposes. Most terms of service prohibit commercial use, such as paying for or getting paid for goods and services. Instead, use a payment service meant for business uses, such as Square Cash for the business or PayPal. Confirm that you would find help if things go wrong. Some P2P services offer limited help to resolve issues. Before using a service, search through the app for customer service contacts and procedures to learn where to go and what assistance to expect. Keep your app up to date. Hackers are always exploiting vulnerabilities, while security pros play nonstop malware whack-a-mole. If you have old software, you're missing the latest protections. Make sure you have the auto updates turned on across the board. Money Saver Printers. Printer ink is the most expensive liquid many people ever buy. At up to $57 per ounce, it's far pricier than many perfumes or fine wines. Rich Sulin, who leads CR's printer testing program, estimates that printing with an inkjet costs an average of 4.4 cents per page, which adds up to $500 or so over 4 years of use. But there's a new hope for ink savings. The Canapixma G4210 is the latest entry in a line of SuperTank models that dispense with ink cartridges in favor of individual reservoirs that can be refilled with a $12 bottle of ink, and it's the cheapest of its kind. The cost to print a page of text is less than a penny. That's $20 in ink over 4 years. Plus, it has chops to handle the most printing jobs. The G4210 is the first reservoir-based printer that really shines as a printer, not just as a money saver, Sulin says. The price on this is $200-$300, and its overall score is 70. Looks like a nice thing. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so very much for listening.